The final judgment. When the Son of Man comes as king, and the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all the nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people on his right, and the others on his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry, and you fed me, thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you received me in your homes, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me in prison, and visited me." The righteous will then answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you into our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you do this for one of the least important of these members of my family, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Away from me, you that are under God's curse, away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me, thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me into your homes, naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me." Then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and would not help you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you refuse to help one of those least important ones, you refuse to help me." These then will be sent off to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go on to eternal life.
Yeah. We've been looking at this theme of invitation through the videos, and we're now going to look at the passage that Brad spoke to us about, and also the general idea that we get of information. So, of invitation. So today's theme, we've got "I love my church, invitation." The idea that if we love our church, then we will invite people to come, and they'll then be looking at what that might mean. So, as we've already seen, there are ways in which it's not appropriate to invite people. You'll hopefully guess the three methods. We have the over-religious, the timid or low confidence, and the invite by force. Please, especially that third one, don't try those when you're trying to invite friends to come to church. But invitation is important. The Bible calls us to invite the people, and share with them the good news of the gospel. We are called to invite the sinners who are in need of God's forgiveness, the outcasts who've been rejected by society, and those that the world deems unimportant. So let's have a look at how Jesus did it. In Luke 17, verses 11 to 19, we see the story of the 10 lepers who Jesus heals. These people were the last in society and rejected and spurned due to the sickness they suffered from. And not only that, the one ex-leper who returned to thank Jesus was also a Samaritan. So not only was he rejected because of the illness that he suffered, but he was also rejected because, as a Samaritan, he was considered to be the worst of the worst by the Jews. He was half Jew because his ancestors had married outside of the tribes of Israel. And so he was doubly rejected by society, yet Jesus still healed him. In Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15, Jesus' disciples tried to turn away children who were being brought to him so that Jesus could bless them. And they were turning them away because children were considered to be the least in society, utterly unimportant. If we go back to the Old Testament, that one of the reasons why David was a shepherd, he was out there with the sheep, was because he was the last son. he was the least important. So youth was unimportant, and that's why it didn't matter if he ended up getting killed by lions or bears. He was not the eldest son. He was the youngest, and so wasn't that important. And so as children were young, they weren't yet adults, they weren't considered important. And yet, Jesus tells his disciples to bring the children to him. "Let the little children come to me," he says. Jesus then blessed them. To Jesus, no one is unimportant. And then if we have a look at Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, we have the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a man not only working for the Romans, the enemies of the Jews at that time, but he worked as a tax collector, a despised profession. He was known also to take more than he should have. So he was a traitor to God's people, and he was also a thief. It could be said by some that he was the ultimate sinner. And yet, Jesus goes to his house. And this angers people. We see in the story that people are angry at the fact he's going to a sinner's house. But when Jesus spoke to him, Zacchaeus changed. No one has sinned too much for Jesus to reach out to. And so as we see with those three stories, Jesus doesn't get overly religious or super spiritual. He isn't timid or shy or unsure of what he's doing. And he certainly doesn't force himself upon people. Jesus meets them where they are. He goes to them. If we were to look at how Jesus meets his disciples, for example, he goes to meet them at their place of work. When he meets people that he heals, Jesus is walking around the land and meeting people all over the place. And when people request his help, like Jairus or Mary and Martha when Lazarus is dying, Jesus went to them. Jesus meets people where they are. So, what about us then? Why should we invite people? Well, the first reason is that we're told to. We're told to go and make disciples. And secondly, we are living our lives for God. In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, we see Jesus telling his disciples that they are to go to the whole world and share the good news of the gospel with all people and make disciples from every nation. And this is a charge that is passed down to us. We too are called to make disciples, teaching new believers about God. And we do this by first inviting them. And then we saw in the reading from Rowan earlier, we heard the parable that Jesus told about how he was telling people that at any time when you feed the hungry, give the thirsty a drink, welcome a stranger, clothe the naked, visit those who are sick or in prison, you're doing it to God. I'm reminded of a story that I first heard when I was in primary school, written by Leo Tolstoy. It's a story called Papa Panov. Papa Panov is an elderly cobbler who lives by himself in a small Russian village. His wife has passed, and his children have all grown up. Alone on Christmas Eve in his shop, Papa Panov decides to open the old family Bible and reads the Christmas story about the birth of Jesus. That night he has a dream in which Jesus comes to him. Jesus says that he will visit Papa Panov in person tomorrow. but that he will have to pay special attention, since the disguised Jesus will not reveal his identity. Papa Panov wakes up, and in the morning, excited about Christmas Day and meeting his potential visitor, he notices that a street sweeper is working early on a cold winter morning. Touched by his hard work and dejected appearance, Christmas Day, Papa Panov invites him inside for a hot cup of coffee. Later in the day, a single mother with a worn face too old for her young age walks down the street clutching her baby. Again, Papa Panov invites them in to warm up and even gives the baby a special brand new pair of shoes that he'd made. As the day goes by, Papa Panov keeps his eyes peeled for his holy visitor, but he only sees neighbors and beggars on the street. He decides to feed the beggars. And soon it is dark, and Papa Panov retires indoors with a sigh, believing his dream was only a dream. But then the voice of Jesus speaks, and it is revealed that Jesus came to Papa Panov in each and every person he helped that day, from the street sweeper to the local beggar. Just like Papa Panov, when we are acting out of God's love for people, we are doing things for him. Our calling in life is to do all things as though we are doing them for him, because our lives are supposed to be lived in worship to God. So, what are we called to do? We are called to invite the last, the least, and the lost, those who are rejected, ignored, and in need of God's forgiveness. We need to remember to invite them appropriately, not using words they don't understand, making sure we're confident in what we're inviting them to, but also being very clear about what we're doing when we invite them. And we need to always remember who we are doing it for, because he, God, is also our reason why we invite people. God needs to remain at the center of everything that we do. So when we talk about the idea of I love my church and inviting people, inviting should be the core of what we do, because our message, the good news of the gospel of Jesus, is so amazing. We should be wanting to share that with everyone we can, so that they too can hear the message of forgiveness that God offers for those who believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message of invitation, a message that goes back to the very beginning when you invited Adam and Eve to join in your work looking after the Garden of Eden. A message that continues on through the Great Commission, calling for us all to share your good news with the world. We pray that we are able to remember that we're doing things for you in all that we do in our lives, and that includes inviting people and how we treat them. Please help us to be able to do that appropriately, that your name might be glorified when we seek to welcome people in to your church and your family. Amen.